Renee and I want to thank all of you for the cards and the emails and the kind words that have been spoken this past week. And I want you to know that the Lord does minister to us in our difficulties through the kindness of the saints He has put with us here on earth. And we want to thank all of you for that. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 31. Book of Exodus, chapter 31. And I'll be reading the verses 1 through 11. Exodus chapter 31, the verses 1 through 11. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they are to serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 31. We have just finished this section in the book of Exodus in which God gives specific instructions to His people as to how they are to build the tabernacle and the various items that are to be placed inside of the tabernacle. Yet of all these instructions that have been given, one thing still remains lacking. And that is, God has not told the people yet who is to build the tabernacle. Who are those who will build God's tabernacle, God's dwelling place among the Israelites in the desert? In chapter 31, God tells us specifically who will build this tabernacle. And if you notice this morning, there's something a little bit different about this text than other places in the book of Exodus. God does not simply say, "Have the craftsmen build the tabernacle." If you turn back with me to chapter 28, verse 3, as God is giving instructions for the priestly garments to be made, He tells them in Exodus 28, verse 3, "Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest." In other parts of the book of Exodus, God does say, "Have skilled men make the garments." But here in Exodus chapter 31, God specifically gives the names of the craftsmen. In verse 2 we read, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And in verse 6 we read, "Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him." Here you see God giving specific names, names of people who will build His tabernacle, His dwelling place upon earth. Now this is unusual, because God does not give us very many names in the book of Exodus. If you remember in the early chapters, God does not give us the name of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Pharaoh wants to be remembered throughout the earth for all of his building projects and all of the things he has accomplished. But God does not include his name, so that he is not remembered in the book of Exodus. He is simply called the king of Egypt. God does not give us the names of Moses' parents. We are told a Levite and his wife. were the parents of Moses. God gives us very few names in the book of Exodus, but the names he does give us have significant importance. He tells us the name of Moses, Moses' brother Aaron, who will be the high priest. We hear of Moses' sister named Miriam, and we even hear of Moses' father-in-law, who is Jethro. Yet very few other names are given in the book of Exodus, and when God does give names, there is significance to these names and to their meaning. And so this morning, as we begin in Exodus 31, the first thing we must do is seek to understand and know the meaning of these two names. The first name in verse 2, Bezalel, means in the shadow or in the protection of God. In the shadow / protection of God. Now, what does that have to do with the tabernacle? Well, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 91. The book of Psalms, chapter 91. In Psalm 91, David finds himself in trouble, or the author finds himself in trouble. And as he finds himself in trouble, he writes these words in Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. Here the author is writing of trouble that comes upon people. Enemies that are attacking, people are dying at his sides. He is fearful of a plague of midday, terror in the night, arrows that are flying. And in his fear, he thinks of God's tabernacle. Verse 1, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What does it mean to rest in someone's shadow? Someone's shadow is something that is that shines or that is that follows someone as they are in the bright sun. And to be so close to them that you are in their shadow is to be very, very near them. The tabernacle is God's dwelling place. It is His presence, His shelter in the amongst the children of Israel. And this psalmist, when he finds himself in trouble, longs to be in the shadow of that tabernacle, the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Bezalel, son of Uri, of the son of Hur, is named in accordance with the task that God has given him to do. He will build the tabernacle of the Lord God Almighty in the shadow, in the protection of God. What about the second name? Verse 6 of Exodus 31. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. What does Aholiab mean? Aholiab means, my father is the tent or the tabernacle. My father is the tabernacle. His name also is in connection with the tabernacle itself. He is named in accordance with the fact that God is the tabernacle, that the tabernacle represents God's presence among the Israelites, that the tabernacle, which represents the forgiveness of sins, is the way that God dwells among his people. And his name means that his Father is that tabernacle. These men are named in accordance with the task that God has given them to do. In verse 2, we read that God has chosen Bezalel to do this task. In verse 6, we read that God has appointed Oholiab to do this task. When they are named, once they are born, they are named in accordance with this task. Before anyone knew what their talents and their skills were, before anyone knew that they were skilled craftsmen, they were given these names in accordance with their task, with God's calling for their life. They were appointed from the foundation of the world to be those two men who would build the tabernacle of God. Bezalel would be in charge, Oholiab would be his assistant, his helper, and other skilled craftsmen would help also at the end of verse 6. Now, why is this so significant? Why is this so important? Because God, in the building of his tabernacle, does not first say, "What are your gifts? What are your abilities?" He does not have them take a Discover Your Gifts seminar. He does not order Moses to have a competition to see who can be the best craftsman by whatever piece of furniture they can build. But God has called these men. He has chosen them. He has appointed them by name. And they have been named at birth in accordance with the task that God has given them. Before they knew anything about a tabernacle, they were named in the shadow and the protection of God. And my Father is the tabernacle. They are appointed and given this task. And once they are given this task, once they are appointed, once God has called them to this, we read this in verse 3. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship." You see, we don't first look, says God, at what gifts the person has, and then say, "Okay, those are your gifts. Here's what your calling is." Instead, God has chosen these men. God has appointed them. And once they have been appointed by God and ordained to do this task, they are filled with the Spirit and given the skills, the ability, and the knowledge to accomplish it. These men will build the tabernacle. These men will build the articles of the tabernacle, including the Ark of the Testimony itself, where God will dwell. God has appointed them from the foundation of the earth to do this task on behalf of his people, to build his tabernacle, his shelter, his dwelling place, so the people of God can live and know his protection in his shadow. But these two men also know that this is not the final tabernacle. For although they are the builders of this tabernacle, they cannot enter into this tabernacle. They are the ones who build the Ark of the Testimony, the altar of burnt offering, the table of showbread, the altar of incense inside of the holy place. They are the ones in charge of making sure the curtain of the Holy of Holies is kept apart from the holy place. Yet they themselves are not allowed to enter. They are the builders of the tabernacle, named by God. But they cannot enter for they are sinners. And God is holy, and the priests must go before them. Surely these two men knew that although the Spirit of God was upon them, although they had great love for God, as is evident by the Spirit that is upon them, they still could not enter. For that privilege would also be given to someone from the tribe of Judah. You see in verse 2 that Bezalel, who is in charge of the building of the tabernacle, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, is of the tribe of Judah. In the fullness of time, God would send another craftsman, another one born of the tribe of Judah, of Mary and of Joseph. He would be chosen from the foundation of the world to build God's tabernacle. His name would be Savior. And Joseph and Mary would be told that he was to be named Jesus, which means Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. He came to die on the cross. He came to offer the forgiveness of sins. He came to do what the tabernacle in the Old Testament represented, for he is the true tabernacle. When his disciples saw him, and he was standing outside the temple with all of its large stones, he said, "I will tear down this temple and rebuild it in 3 days." By his death and his resurrection, he has rebuilt the tabernacle. He has rebuilt the temple. He is the foundation of the church. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, Paul picks up on these thoughts when he writes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives with by his Spirit." Notice at the end of verse 20, Paul tells us that Jesus himself is the cornerstone of this temple. Jesus and his death and resurrection. Jesus, by dying on the cross for the sins of his people and his resurrection of the grave, has laid the foundation of the church, has laid the foundation of God's tabernacle, God's dwelling place, his church among the lives of his people. And upon this cornerstone, verse 20, the first part, the apostles and prophets built on this foundation, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets in the early church, the apostle Paul himself, went out and spread the news of this foundation. They spread the news that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. They spread the news that Jesus Christ is alive, that there is forgiveness for sinners, that aliens and foreigners, not members of the children of Israel, can be part of this foundation, part of this tabernacle, if they believe and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And in verse 21, Paul tells us, "In him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling by which God lives by his Spirit." God has sent a greater builder of his tabernacle, of his temple. God has sent his son Jesus of the tribe of Judah, who would build a greater tabernacle and who continues today to build his tabernacle and his temple, who continues today to provide a dwelling place for his people. For he dwells among God's people by his Spirit. But what about these men who are named? We know that God builds his tabernacle. We know that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and the foundation. But we also learn from Exodus chapter 31 that these men are named and called from the foundation of the world to participate in this task. God has also called you. God knows your name. For you also participate in this tabernacle building. You also participate with both of those men in the building of God's kingdom, of his temple here on this earth, as he dwells among you. And like those two men, it's not a matter of what gifts you have. You see, sometimes people focus on the gifts. I've been a part of churches where the first thing that when a visitor joins, they have them take a Discover Your Gifts test, and they put them to work. But you see, Exodus 31 teaches us something different. It's not about gifts. These men aren't necessarily the most skilled and the best craftsmen. We don't read that. But we read that God has called them and God's Spirit is upon them. You see, God knows your name and God has called each one of you to a task. And as you think about these things, you're not to look around the church and decide who's got what gift and what gift do I have and where do I fit in. But the first qualification is that you love Christ. You see, the Spirit of God is upon these two men so they can do their task. And because they love God, because they love his tabernacle, because God's Spirit is upon them, they are filled with skill, ability and knowledge to accomplish their task that God has called them to. You see, the first qualification for service in God's church is not what gifts you have. The first qualification is love for Christ and his Spirit upon you. Love for his tabernacle. Love for his death and his resurrection. And if you have that, God will equip you with the skill, the wisdom, the ability, and the knowledge to accomplish what he has called you to do. Before anyone could think about being a pastor, they have to love Christ and have passion for the cornerstone he has laid in his death and resurrection. Before anyone could be an elder, they need to have passion for Christ and the cornerstone of his death and resurrection. Before anyone can serve as a deacon, they must know and love Christ and the cornerstone of his death and resurrection so that they can participate in the building of his kingdom. Before anyone can fulfill their calling as a parent to raise and teach godly children who will grow up and serve in Christ's church, in Christ's tabernacle. It's not what gifts and abilities you have. It's love for Christ. Love for his foundation, for his chief cornerstone, his death and resurrection. And if you love Christ, his Spirit will come upon you to fulfill the task that God has called you to do, to raise and to teach those children. Each one of us has our calling from God. I don't want to have this sermon turn into what gifts and what specific thing am I do or where do I fit. But you need to think about, what has God called me to do? How much do I love Christ and the cornerstone? Has God's Spirit given me the wisdom and the skill, because I love Him so much, to participate in the building of His tabernacle? How is your building going? How are your skills being used? But most importantly, how much do you love Jesus and His death and resurrection? Because if you have that, God has equipped you to accomplish all that He has called you to do from the foundation of the earth in the building of His kingdom on this earth. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for what we can read in Exodus 31. We thank You for these men whom You have called and named from the foundation of the earth to participate in the building of Your tabernacle. And we thank You, Lord, that as we look at them, we can see our Savior, who also came from Judah, and in His death and resurrection has rebuilt the temple in 3 days. And we thank You for the foundation He has laid, so that we can be a part of it, Lord, so that we can identify with Him and be part of His church, and so that He may dwell among us. And we pray, O God, that You would help us as Your people to love Christ more and more, to know and understand fully His death and resurrection, to have passion for Him, so that we may be enabled to do the calling that You have given us. Help us to be faithful to Him first, and then to know that Your Spirit will give us what is necessary to fulfill what You have given us to do. Help us, Lord, to love You and to follow You and to serve You all of our days. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.